We'll get into it, but I saw that and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I just had to take a screenshot. I'm like, this is the only way I'm getting it on the background.
Do you want to tell us why you chose that background?
Oh, I think you know why I chose this background.
I know. So much for me and Aaron being subtle.
I'm like, wait, hold on. Am I missing something?
Yeah. The truck says Atlas and Wolf.
Oh, no. Yeah, I got that. But it said Kosher Meats. I was like, oh, do you guys also do that on the side?
Yes, that's how we financed this film. I mean, Robert Rodriguez sold blood and Aaron and I sold Kosher Meat.
Brilliant.
All right. Well, shoot, I guess we're starting already. That works. Actually, the first question I have, because I just watched Let Them Die Like Lovers, which is the short that, first of all, I'm here with Jesse Atlas and Andy Allo, the writer and director and the star of Assassin. But Jesse, I saw Let Them Die Like Lovers, which is what this feature length is based on. I love the title, Let Them Die Like Lovers. Why the name change? I think I could probably figure it out, but I just want to hear it from you.
Next question.
Sounds good. But
I'll answer that question. Okay. There was a discussion and I didn't like it. And I said, we need to do better. I'm sorry. And it was a democratic decision, and Assassin seemed like, you know, it was just like in your face, and it was like, let's go, because and that's what we want, you know, let them die like lovers. It's a little too, so, you know, it's lovey-dovey. We're not trying to do that. So that's my take.
Andy is totally correct. I mean, there are some times, thankfully I surround myself with people who I love and respect and enjoy, you know, collaborating with. And I think that, you know, I got a little too attached to a title that a lot of people felt A was arty, B was too long, and C would not translate well into other languages.
Oh.
And you know what? At the end of the day, they were right.
I still love that title though. I would have been the one trying to talk you out of changing it, but regardless. So what's the, like, going from, because this is your first feature film, and congratulations on that, because that's a monumental task just getting that done. But what's the transition from directing shorts to a feature film? Like, what's some of the issues you came across? Maybe what's some stuff like, oh, I thought that was going to be really tough, but actually this worked out really well. Like, it's kind of the positives and negatives.
Yeah, well, I guess a lot of the positives were that, you know, we kind of created the language for the visual style and the way that we would, you know, illustrate this concept, you know, of body jumping and a soldier being able to take over somebody else's mind and how we wanted to visualize that. And we were able to have the short kind of like, it was a great tool for us because in so many ways it was a practice run for telling this kind of story and making sure that, you know, the vision and the choices that I was making as a director and the choices that Aaron Wolf and I were making as writers, you know, that they were going to shine through in the way that we wanted them to. And what was great also about having the short was, you know, using it as a proof of concept to have a conversation with, you know, everybody from actors that I was interested in to financiers and producers that I wanted to work with, and having that in existence, and, you know, just took a lot of the guesswork out of, you know, like what you say, that, you know, even though I've made a lot of projects, I've written a lot of things, I've sold a lot of things, but, you know, there's a first timer, you know, stigma that's around you. And I think, you know, that having the short and knowing that the short was going to be the path to break down the door for the feature was a great artistic experience and a great business model that I recommend highly to other people.
Do you think that Paul is kind of unfair? Because, I mean, you have done a bunch of shorts, and Andy, you do music. That wouldn't that be akin to, well, you've written a song, but you've never written an album. So you can't, like, it doesn't quite make sense, or maybe there's something to it?
I'm not sure I'm following.
Oh, well, I guess, no, I see the analogy. If it connect, is it okay if I jump in, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just more of like, it's a different beast in terms of, you know, the marketing and, you know, can we throw this amount of money and weight behind this more full experience? And, you know, how do we sell something like this, you know, versus we're like the way that a short needs to perform in order to be successful is obviously way different than a feature. But I think, but yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about it, actually. You know, it's just a, such a different beast, and, you know, in a business where creating the product is very expensive, you know, people want to have as much guarantees as possible. So yeah, you're really under the microscope. It's the same as like getting a mortgage for a house. It's all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, they're looking at everything.
I love all these different examples. I mean, I think I wrote and I directed a short a little over a year ago. And I think when I look at a feature similar to what Jesse is saying, yes, it shows that you're able to take a concept, bring it to fruition, and like, hey, I can direct, look what I can do. But a feature is like he said, it's a bigger beast. And I think it's cool, you know, trying to find a correlation between music and an album. The thing is, with an album, you know, that you can take, that takes time, you write your songs, you know, like, whereas like, and that, well, sometimes features take 10 years. So fair point, you know, that it all kind of comes together, especially in the creative process. But with an album and with music, you can do that at home. Well, everything I'm saying now, I'm just going to like negate myself. I'm like, you can make a movie at home now too.
We're living in the future. It happens.
I know, but I guess I will say, let's say specifically to action films that require a lot of visual effects that, and you're trying to, you know, your desires to make on a larger scale. At this point, technologically, you can do anything at home. But I think when it comes to a feature at this level, and when you are aiming to really break the mold and push boundaries, as I really saw and believe that Jesse and Aaron are doing, you know, you require people to believe in that. And sometimes that's a bit of a fight, you know, and doesn't come as easy. And as a up and, you know, budding little baby filmmaker myself, like I completely relate to that experience.
And Andy, I guess speaking on that, like what's some crossover or if any, just between art forms, is there anything that you've kind of learned or developed with music that you've brought to acting or your own filmmaking?
I think the biggest thing for me is the rhythm and like being like a band leader. You know, when you're a director, you are at the helm of a lot of people, a lot of departments. You are making decisions on the fly every second of the day. Obviously, Jesse, as a more experienced director, will speak better on this, you know. I've spent a lot more time on the other side of the camera, in front of the camera. But as a musician, you know, I see that the connection between having a band and you know, you got to find the strengths in people and allow them to shine when it's their time. And hey, if you're taking a solo, it's not time for you to solo. You got to relax. Hold on. Wait a minute. It's this is person, you know, like, and really balancing that, but doing it, you know, you're a leader. And I would say the same as a director on set. Everybody plays a role as they do in a band. And there is a rhythm to it. There's a beat. And I think as humans, we can feel it when we watch something. If the dialogue isn't flowing, if there's something off, if there's a different weird actor delivery and you're like, that doesn't sound right, we feel it. And I think that's the same for music, you know? So yeah, totally. There's definitely a lot of similarities.
I kind of want to talk about the elephant in the room. If you don't want to talk about it, I can cut this part out. But the Bruce Willis, you know, if IMDb is to believe, this is going to be his last movie because of what he's gone through, and which is not fun. I've had some of that in my own family. But I guess the question would be, like, kind of what are some of the challenges and just when you had to work with him? And on one hand, this is the movie that he gets to go out on. but it's also sad at the same time. What's kind of your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, we can't really speak too much to his health, but, you know, of course, you know, this diagnosis, you know, came out, you know, almost about 18 months after we finished shooting. So I don't think that we were aware, and I don't think that he was aware that this was going to be his last film. I know that, you know, there were things that resonated with him about the film, you know, in terms of, I know that he was zeroing in on, you know, knowing that he was going to make a couple more films or a few more films, and that he really responded to the material, and his team really responded to the material, because there were some interesting similarities with, you know, the trajectory of his career and the trajectory of the character, and especially where that character is in relationship to the main character. And, you know, Bruce kind of, you know, knowing that he was coming into a situation where he wasn't the center, which is, you know, first of all, most Bruce Willis films have Bruce at the center. And he knew that he was coming into support, and this would be a role that he was supporting and kind of godfathering in, you know, a younger generation. And I think that he just really responded to the project and knowing that, you know, that there would be something special for him to do in that way, as, you know, as one of his final films, leaving a legacy where he was basically passing the torch. And he did that in a lot of ways, you know, in the character. I think something that spoke to him is that, you know, in his younger roles and some of his earlier work, like, or not earlier, but, you know, in 12 Monkeys, for example, you know, he is the guy at the center of the experiment. And now, and, you know, there's scientists and people, you know, poking and prodding him and urging him on and this and that. And now he's in that role where there's another young newcomer, you know, at the center of the experiment. And I think that there were some interesting parallels there that we got to discuss. I wish he was here to say more. It's, you know, it's a huge, sad bummer that we can't just, you know, sit down and watch the film with him and enjoy, you know, what we created together. But, you know, there were a lot of things that spoke to him. I don't want to speak for him, yeah, but I know there were a lot of things that spoke to him.
Well, thanks for asking that. I wasn't quite sure, like, you know, that stuff gets kind of touchy, but something a little more fun, more of the filmmaking stuff. Your bath with the ice looks very cold, but they look very serene in that. This is just kind of like a technical thing, but like, how was that? I'm assuming you didn't use bags of ice, or did you? Or did you sometimes and sometimes not? Like, how does that go?
I could never give away the true secrets. You know, like Jeremy Strong's piece in New Yorker about method acting.
Yeah,
let's just apply that to the story of ice.
I'll just mark it down as magic ice. Gotcha. Yeah,
magic ice.
Yes.
And also, there's a scene with they're looking at the flower picture, and she's in the body, and she gets thrown on the spot of, oh, you painted that? Yes. And now she has to describe what her paintings mean, but she didn't do that. That's the body she's in. I thought that was a really interesting scene. What was kind of like the thought process behind writing that?
Well, the thought process behind writing that is exactly what you said. I mean, we're talking about Alexa's first trip into being Molly, and not only getting caught on the spot because, you know, she finds herself inches away from her target, which is emotionally triggering because this is the man, you know, who she's been told has hurt her husband. But additionally, you know, how is she going to manipulate this situation in a way where perhaps she can, you know, get close enough to him to get revenge on her husband. But, you know, in that situation, she's playing a totally different role, and she's thinking on the fly, and she's kind of making it up as she goes along, which I think was really, really interesting to watch. You know, I think sometimes in sci-fi movies or, you know, action-driven movies where there's a definitive goal, like, hey, you know, there is this guy named Adrian, and he is Dominic Purcell, and he is your ultimate goal in the film to take him down. You know, it can be pretty cut and dry, and things can go on rails of like, oh, you just need to get closer and closer and closer to this guy until you can kill him, whatever. But we thought the most interesting thing to do would be to bring those characters as close as possible to start and say, no, actually, you can't touch him yet.
Also, not sure how much time we have left. Well, real quick, with both of you, Jesse, with your shorts, I found the one on YouTube, and I saw that you have got to look up the name, record, play, and kinesthesia. Mm-hmm. Movement one, like where would someone be able to find those? Because I was on YouTube, I was able to find like the trailers for them, but I wasn't able to find the actual shorts.
Oh, record play you can find on my website, which is autonomica.com, which is auto like a car, and then nomica, n-o-m-i-k-a. It's a great name. It's not the easiest thing to say, but you know, if you find me on Instagram, well, that's much easier, Jesse Atlas, and then you can see that short. And you can see how that played into the, certainly into the developing the style that you see in Let Them Die Like Lovers and Assassin. And kinesthesia and movement one, those are also, you know, those are very fun, but it's very different tangentially. Dance films that I made for some of the folks who are on Dancing with the Stars, and they wanted to kind of lean into creating some dance-led stories that have a genre bent to them, and they're very good at marketing merchandising, and they sold them on their tours. So they're not actually available, but they still sell them on tours. If you ever catch Travis Wall on tour, you can find kinesthesia at the merch table.
Yeah, the kinesthesia, the trailer, I think it's Maya Darren. Like she's got the shorts, like where it's just dancing, but it didn't look quite as rough as I did back then, but it kind of had the same kind of feel to it. And I was excited to watch the full short.
Definitely. Yeah. I wish it was more widely available, but it's not up to me.
And Andy, where can people find more of your music? Well, you're working with Lexi Alexander. You got a movie coming up with her soon, which Lexi's kind of a badass. I can't wait to see that.
Absolutely. Yes. She's incredible. Absolute dominion. I know they're editing the movie right now, and that's another action film. So I'm very excited to have another action film under my belt. And I think Assassin really set me up for that, getting me some good experience. You can find me everywhere with my name, Andy Allo, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, all the things. The season 2 of Star Wars, The Bad Batch, is out now, and I voice one of the characters on there. So definitely watch that. I think I'm finding myself a nice little corner in the sci-fi futuristic space. And it's nice, to add, Assassin to be a part of that. So, yeah.
And also, just in on this, my co-host Bruce, we have a segment called What's in the Box. I always like to have people put movies in the box, and he'll pick one every week, and then we'll watch it for the following week. What's a movie that's kind of like personal to you, or maybe a movie that's like, oh, that's really good, and no one ever talks about it? I wish more people would see that.
Athena.
On Netflix.
On Netflix.
That opening wonder is amazing. Oh, yeah, that's definitely going in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I just saw that also, and I would... I would say the same. I would say that the lack of attention that Coherence has garnered is kind of criminal, and I want a lot more people to see that movie.
Yeah, those are both great picks. Jesse, Andy, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope the Assassin gets a lot of love. And Jesse, cannot wait to see what you got going in the future. Quite talented. Andy, I look more forward to more of the earworms of your music and the new Lexi Alexander joint coming out. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks so much, Eric. This was awesome.
Thank you.